सबई पुंसांग परो धर्म जसो भक्ति रधो खजे, अहित की अप्रतिहता जया आत्मा सुप्रसिद्ध। दिस इज ए वर्स फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट नंबर सिक्स। देर वॉज ए बिग मीटिंग ऑफ ग्रेट सेजेस सेंटली पर्सन अबाउट 2500 years ago at Naimisharana. Still, those who have gone to India, they know near Lucknow there is a place, it is called now railway station Nimsa. There is Naimisharana. So there in the meeting, the questions were put by the sages that to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures. Because in India, the Vedic literatures are many folded. First of all, there are the four Vedas, Sham, Yaju, Rig, Atharva. Then they are explained or supplemented by the Puranas, 18 Puranas. Then they are further explained by 108 Upanishads. Then they are summarized in Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra. And then again, the Brahma Sutra is explained by Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasvayam Brahma Sutra na. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the direct commentary by the author himself. Therefore, you'll find at the end of each chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavati Mahapurani Brahma Sutra Bhashe. Bhashe means commentary. Commentary means to explain. Just like in the Brahma Sutra, the first aphorism is Athat Brahma Jigyasa. This human form of life is meant for inquiring about the Absolute Truth. Brahma means Absolute Truth, the Supreme Truth. So, it is said that the human life should not be spoiled or expended like animals. Nayang deha deho bhajang niloki kastan kaman arhatibir bhujang ji. What is the distinction between the human form of life and the life of the hogs and dogs? What is the difference? The difference is that the dogs and dogs, it is not possible to stop them. We'll find the hogs and dogs whole day. They are searching after eatables, where there is some food, where there is some food. That is hogs and dogs' life. The condemned life, they cannot have any peaceful life. They cannot do any intelligent work. They cannot produce food from the earth. They have no intelligence. The same earth is there. The dogs and hogs are there. The human being is also there. But human being has developed civilization, comfortable life. The hogs and dogs, they cannot do that. Although they have got the same opportunity, but they cannot do it. So, human life is meant for living very comfortably, brain clear, to understand what is absolute truth, what is our life, what is the goal of life, because the hogs and dogs, they will also die, and we will also die. But we can understand what is the goal of life. The dogs and hogs, they do not know what is the goal of life. Therefore, in the Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorism is advised that human form of life, it doesn't matter where that human form of life has happened, it doesn't matter. Either in America or in India or in Pakistan or anywhere, human life is human life. So their business is to inquire about the absolute truth. That is the injunction of the Shastra. Therefore, we find a form of religion in the human society. It doesn't matter whether Christian society or Hindu society or Muslim society or any other society. Because they are human beings, there must be a type of religion. And what is that religion? Religion means to understand God. This is the sum and substance. Religion means to understand God. In the Shastra it is said, religion means dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Religion means the codes and the rules and regulations given by God. That is religion. This is the summary, a short definition of religion. If somebody asks you, what do you mean by religion? The immediate reply is there in the Shastra, dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Navai vidu rishayonapi deva. The principles of religion is given by God. It is unknown to the human being or the demigods. That means, except God, nobody can give you religion. Just like the law, state law. Law means the principles given by the state. You cannot manufacture law at your home. That is not law. Similarly, religion means the law given by God. Therefore, we must know who is God and what kind of law He is giving to us. This is religion. So, from Bhagavad Gita, we understand Krishna or God says, Jada jada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata tadatmanam srijami aham. When there is discrepancies in the matter of discharging religion, then I incarnate, I descend. Why? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samasthapanarthaya sambhavami juge juge. So, religion is disturbed by duskritina, demons, and those who are saintly person, they execute religion. So, paritranaya sadhunam. Sadhu means saintly person, devotee of God. They are sadhu. An asadhu or demon means persons who deny the authority of God. They are called demons. So two business, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha duskritam. To curtail the activities of the demons and to give protection to the saintly person, I descend dharma samastha and to establish dharma, the principles of religion. These are the three business for which Krishna or God or God's representative or you say God's son, they come. This is going on. So, what is religion then? The religion is the obedience to God. Just like law means obedience to the state. And one who obeys the laws of the state, he is good citizen. Similarly, the laws given by God, one who obeys the law, he is religion, he is religious or saintly person. So, it doesn't matter what religion you are following, it doesn't matter. If you are actually obedient to the laws of God, then you are religious. It doesn't matter. That is explained here. Savai pumsang paro dharma jato bhakti radhokhaje. Adhokhaje, beyond the sense perception, we have got different stages of knowledge. Direct perception, pratyakha, parakha, aparakha, adhokhaja, aprakita. These are five stages of knowledge. Direct perception, knowledge received from others, then realization, then anubhuti, understanding what is the position of God and his situation, that is called aprakita. Aprakita means not within this material world, but above that. Shankaracharya, he has described Narayana para abhaktyat. Abhaktyat this material world is manifested, and above this there is the total stock of material energy that is called abhyakta, and beyond that there is spiritual world. Narayana para abhyaktyat. So we have to understand God, where He is situated. He is situated everyone, everywhere, but still we cannot see. In Kunti's prayer, she said that, Krishna, you are without and within also, but still you cannot be recognized. Natho natto dharo jatha. Just like one person's father or relative is playing on the stage, still he cannot recognize him who is playing. So similarly, Krishna or God's position is adhokhaja. Adhokhaja, akhaja. Akhaja means direct perception. Akha means eyes. Sometimes we say, can you show me God? This is called akhaja. But he cannot be seen by these eyes. Therefore his name is adhokhaja. Adhakrita akhaja jnanam. You cannot see God by direct perception. You have to create your eyes, you have to create your senses so that you can see God, you can touch God, you can talk with God, you can feel God's presence. Therefore His name is adhokhaja. When sometimes God is described as impersonal, that does not mean that He has no personality. He has His personality, but He is not a person like us. He is not a person like us. That is called impersonal. Impersonal does not mean that He has no personality, but the experience of our personality, God is not like that. In the Vedas they are very nicely explained, Pashyati Achakhu, God sees, but He has no eyes. Srinoti Akarna, He has no ears, but He can hear. If He cannot hear, then what is the use of our offering prayer? He hears, but He does not hear like us. We cannot hear in a distant place, a few years. But God, He is in His kingdom. Still, if you offer prayer, He can hear. That is God. Srinoti Akarna, Pashyati Achakhu. He is seeing everything, every action of your activities. But that kind of eyes, seeing everything, not only of my activities, your activities, his activities, everyone's activities. We have got such eyes. Therefore, when He is spoken of that He has no eyes, that means He has no eyes like us. It is divine. Achakhu. He hasn't got eyes like this. I cannot see more than 100 feet. But He can see everywhere. Sarvato pani padastat. He has got His hands and legs everywhere. He has got His eyes everywhere. So therefore, he is described here, adhokhaja. Adhokhaja, adhokhaja means beyond sense perception. And still, you have to become obedient. Therefore, it is said, savai pumsang paro dharma. Paro dharma and apara dharma. There are two natures, paro and apara. These things are very nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita. This material energy, five elements, eight elements, even we can see, cannot see five elements properly. Five elements, bhumi, apa, anara, vayu, khang, mana, buddhi, ahankara. We can see earth, we can see water, bhumi, apa. We can see fire, anara. But we cannot see the air, but we can feel that air is blowing. That is also sense perception. We can see, we can perceive, we cannot see what is a sky, but we know here is sky, vacancy. Then we cannot see even mind. We cannot, I know that you have got mind, you know I have got my mind, but you cannot see where is my mind. I cannot see where is your mind. Bhumi rapo analo vayu khangmano buddhi revacha. Bhinna prakriti me astadha. These are different energies of God. And the whole material world is composed of these five gross elements and three subtle elements. This is called material world. And Krishna says further, aparayam. These material energies, they are inferior energy, apara. Beyond that, there is a superior energy. Aparayam itastu vidhi me prakritim para. My dear Arjuna, these gross and subtle material elements, they are inferior energy. Beyond that, there is another superior energy. What is that superior energy? Jiva bhuta mahabhayo jayedam dharjate jaga. That is that living entity, living being. We are all living beings. So we are superior energy. We are exploiting the material resources. Therefore you are superior. We are molding the material energy to our satisfaction. So we belong to the superior energy. So at the present moment we are engaged in the activities of material energy. That's like we are economists, nationalists, scientists, and so on, so on. That means all our engagements are within this material energy. Even psychologists, mental speculators, philosophers, all material energy. But that is not our superior engagement. The superior engagement is explained here. Sabai pumsang paro dharma. Superior engagement means to remain engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Lord. Sabai pumsang paro dharma. Jato bhakti radhokhaja. Bhakti, bhakti means devotional service. When you understand the adhokhaja, the supreme, the absolute truth, then we understand our position. Our position is eternal servant of God. This is our position. But at the present moment, because we are not in the superior energy, in the activities of the superior energy, we are struggling hard with this material energy. Mamai vāṁsu jīva bhūta jīva loko sanātana mana sasthāni indriyāni prakriti sthāni karsati. The Lord says that these living entities, they are part and parcel of me. Mamaiva aṁsa. Aṁsa means part and parcel. Just like this finger is the part and parcel of my body. So the finger's business is to carry out or to see the comforts of the body. I want to reach my nostril. Immediately the finger is engaged. And if the fingers cannot help me, then it is diseased. Similarly, we are part and parcel of God. If we cannot help God, if we cannot assist God, if we cannot serve God, that is our disease condition. That is our disease condition. So we are at the present moment, we are not helping God, we are not assisting God, we are not serving God. So this is our disease condition. So we have to get out of this disease condition. That is called mukti. The mukti is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukti hitya annatha rupam sarupena avasthiti. Mukti means when we give up our false engagements and we are engaged properly in our original constitutional position, that is called mukti. So this bhakti means mukti. Because bhakti means to be engaged in devotional service of the Supreme. Therefore that is mukti. And bhakti begins after mukti. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma bhuta prasannātmā na sochati nakāṅkati sama sarvesu bhūtesu mad bhakti labhati parām. Brahma bhuta, we are all Brahma. The Mayavadi philosophers, they are very busy to realize his Brahma position. So we are Brahmas. That is because we are part and parcel of God. God is part of Brahma. So we are part and parcel of God. We are not part of Brahma, the Supreme Brahma, but we are Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi, this realization. I am not this body, that is called Brahma Bhuta. So Brahma Bhuta, when you realize this, this is called knowledge, Brahma Gyan, that I am not this body, but I am spirit soul, part and parcel of God. My duty is to assist God, to serve God. That is called Brahma Bhuta. Otherwise, being Jiva Bhuta, we are engaged in this material world, struggling with the material energy. That is called Jiva Bhuta. But Brahma Bhuta means to realize that why I am unnecessarily struggling with this material world. I do not belong to this material world. I am spirit soul. My business is spiritual. That is Brahma Bhuta. And as soon as one understands this position, then prasannātmā, he becomes immediately happy, joyful. Just like if you are doing something for which you have no necessity, and when you come to realize that I am unnecessarily wasting my time in this way, naturally you become joyful. So why I am wasting my time in this way? That is Brahma-bhuta state. Brahma-bhuta, prasannātmā. Prasannātmā means joyful state. No more anxiety. We are full of anxiety on account of our material conception of life. Unnecessarily. So many leaders came and gone. So long they are living, they are always concerned in our country. Just like Mahatma Gandhi, he came, big leader, or in other countries, Churchill came, or Hitler came. So long they are living, they are always anxiety, full of anxiety, fighting with one another. Now they are not existing. What is the loss there? But unnecessarily they are busy. So without me, my country will be finished and this will be that. Unnecessarily. So therefore we require to be Brahma-bhuta. Then prasannātmā. Then, because our only business is to see that I am happy. I have no anxiety. That we are searching after, every one of us. So that anxietylessness is possible when we come to this stage. Savai puṁsāṁ paro dharma yato bhakti yadak kaje ahaituki apratihata jaya ātmā suprasīdati. If you want actually peace, then you must be engaged in the service of the Lord. And before being engaged in the service of the Lord, you should be qualified Brahma-bhuta, prasannātmā. Brahma-bhuta, as soon as you become Brahma-bhuta, you are jolly. What is the symptom of jolliness? Na sochati, na kāṅkhati. Na sochati means does not lament. We are always lamenting for the things which we have lost. And we are always hankering for things which we haven't got. This is our business. So long we do not get, we hanker. And when we get, then how to keep it? That is anxiety. And when it is lost, that is also anxiety. This is the material position. And when you come to the spiritual position, there is no such thing. No lamentation, no lamenting, no anger. Brahma-bhuta prasannātmā na sochati na kāṅkhati samasarveshu bhūteshu. At that time it is possible to see that everyone is equal. Because he can see. He does not see here is American, he does not see here is Indian, he does not see here is a Brahmin, he does not see here is a dog. He sees all living beings, part and parcel of God. That is called samasarveshu bhuteshu. That equality is possible when you are Brahma-bhuta. Samasarveshu bhuteshu. Artificially, you have opened this United Nation, but your conception is, I am Indian, I am American, I am Hindu, I am Muslim. How it can be, there can be unity? It is not possible. That is not Brahma-bhuta state. That is prakita state. Identifying with this body. So long you identify with this body, then you are in the material conception of life. There is no question of spiritual understanding. There is no question of joyfulness. There is no question of freedom from lamentation and hankering. And there is no question of equality. it is all false. So therefore, here is the explanation. Savai pungsang paro dharma. Paro dharma. Here he does not say that Hindu religion is the best, or Christian religion is the best, or Mohammedan religion is the best. No. That religion is best, which teaches the follower how to love God. Savai pungsang paro dharma jato bhakti radhukhaje. If one is lover of God, then he is lover of everyone, because he knows everyone is part and parcel of God. If you love your father, then you love your brother. But if you do not know who is your father, then how you can say universal brotherhood? This is all hypocrisy. If first of all know, you must first of all know what you are, what is God, what is your relationship with God, and when it is perfectly understood, then there is the possibility of samasarvesu bhutesu, pannita samadarshina, vidya vinaya sampanne, brahmani, gavi, hastini, suni cheta, sapake cha, pannita samadarshina. Pandita, one is actually learned, he sees everyone on the equal level. Who are they? Vidyavinaya sampanne brahman. A brahmana who is very learned and very gentle. Vidyavinaya education means one is very gentle and learned. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmani govi, a cow. Hastine, an elephant. Suniche, a dog. Sapake, a dog eater. Chandal. He says that they are. Yes, he is present within your heart. But still, he has got his own place.
This is why he says you have to descend.
Yes.
But that, it can also mean that
he's
not everywhere. He has to
be sent. Why not? That is God. That is God. You are thinking in your terms. Because when you are at your home, you are not everywhere.
Yes.
You think God is like that.
This is what I
that is your deficiency. Mm-hmm. Why do you compare yourself with God? That is your deficiency.
From a philosophical point of view.
Not philosophical point of view. You are thinking God in your own terms. Because you are imperfect. When you sit in your home, you cannot be present at my home. Therefore, you are thinking God is like that.
When he says he descends, does it mean that now?
Yes. He descends, it does not mean that he is absent in his abode. That is God. Advaita achyate anadi anantarupam. You understand this? Anantarupa. He can expand himself in unlimited forms. Otherwise, how it is possible? Ishara sarvabhutanam riddhesa arjuna tishtati. God is situated in everyone's heart. Everyone means within your heart, within my heart, within the cat's heart, within the dog's heart, everyone's heart. So there are innumerable living entities. How he is situated everywhere. Annantarasang paramanuchayantarasang. He is within this universe and he is within the atom. That is God.
Swamiji.
Yes?
You are suggested by a question put by a young man. Will you be so kind as to answer also to an old man?
What is that?
Among the Buddha, by a well understood.
You have already accepted one question from a young man, So now would you kindly accept a question from an old man?
Oh, yes. You are neither old, he is neither young. Pandita Samadarshina. Yes.
In your lecture, Swamiji, if I don't mistake, you have mentioned many authorities beginning with the Veda, Brahma Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, and Mahabharata, do you accept also
as an authority? Yes. Because it is given by Vyasadeva, that it is also authority.
We are all listening to you very attentively.
Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, that is also authority.
We are listening to you very attentively, and I have no doubt that the audience have learned much, which if put to practice, would help us in some way to realize what we are and to realize God. Now, if God Himself comes to teach to someone in this world, and he has learned from God directly, and he is satisfied that he has learned, that he has understood, can he, a few minutes afterwards, forget that he has received instruction from God, and can he depart in a very ridiculous way from God, from what God has taught him in person?
If a ridiculous way?
If I have read...
What is that? Ridiculous?
If I have read aright.
No, no. First of all, correct yourself. What is that ridiculous way?
If after receiving good education, you act contrary, you see, to that education.
What is that?
At least it is ridiculous.
If you receive a good education, and then you act contrary to that education.
If one has received good education, he cannot act contrary to it.
That is, I agree with you. But this is what, if I have understood...
So, a person who has got real education, he cannot be ridiculous.
Well, let me...
That though, why you are saying that?
Explain my position.
No, no. Don't say anything which is contradictory.
No.
Education does not mean ridiculous.
No, education is not...
That means he is not educated.
I have not said that education is ridiculous. I say the one who has got good education from a teacher...
So he cannot act ridiculously. If he acts ridiculously, then he has not good education.
So if I well understood...
You have not well understood. You say a person who has got education, still he acts ridiculously. That means he has no knowledge what is education.
I explain myself well, but if you wish to be...
So if you cannot explain yourself, how can I continue to hear you?
1 minute more patient, I will explain how.
No, no, no. If you speak ridiculously, how can I hear you?
I speak...
You say that one man has got education and he acts ridiculously. This is your statement is ridiculous.
See, if a man who has had good education...
No, no, he has no good education. You cannot say that.
Well,
if he acts ridiculously, that he has no good education.
Well, let me put it another way. In the Bhagavad Gita, is there a passage, is there a chapter where Arjuna says, I have heard all your teachings, now I have understood the truth, or not?
So you have to hear and you have to understand, then you can speak, otherwise you'll speak ridiculously.
No, Arjuna has said that he has heard God Himself speak to him and that he has understood the truth.
Yes.
And that we are all, as you have said, a little bit of a finger in a body and the finger must serve the body.
So you have to approach such person who has heard God, just like Arjuna.
The next day he goes on the battlefield, and he hears that his son has been killed. He loses all his self-control, and he says, I am going to throw myself in the fire. I have lost my son. Is that the action of a man who has heard God Himself speak to him? This is what I want to ask.
Yeah. He mean to say, Arjuna? What is your statement? You mean to say Arjuna?
Yes.
So Arjuna, he, of course, sentiment, just like theoretically we understand, na hannate hannamane sarire. Still, when my son dies, I become affected. That is temporary. That is temporary. But Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave him the liberty that now I have spoken to you everything. Now whatever you like, you can do. What did he answer? He answered, Karise Vachanam Prabhu. Yes, I shall carry out your order. This is the conclusion. That temporarily you may be disturbed under certain circumstances, but if your conviction is that I shall act according to the order of God, that is final. That is final. He did not act against the will of the Lord. That is his victory. Temporarily, he might have been disturbed when his son was killed. That is a different thing. Everyone becomes. But that does not mean he stopped war. That is wanted. What was the final conclusion? He did not leave the war field because his son Abhimanyu was killed. Therefore he left. Now I don't want to fight. No, he did not do that. He was affected for the time being. That is natural. But finally he concluded and he said, yes, Karishe Vachanam Tava. Nashto mehin moha sitil labdha. My illusion is now over. I shall fight. That is the right conclusion.
Thank you. Anuji, may I ask a question? And what my friend has just said about the teaching of in the battlefield with Krishna, how the last about him. Yada yada hi dharmasya rani bhavati bharat. It's an oft repeated phrase of shloka, which has gone deep into the subconscious mind of the especially the Hindu. Have taken it probably because of the wrong interpretation. That why should we go and tie ourselves or make effort if we are in trouble? Let us wait for the God to come down to the earth and he'll help us and do what we need and defend us or establish us.
That is your instruction. That is not God's instruction.
But it has been.
No.
According to my
God says that here is injustice, so you should fight. God says that. God never says that I am God, Krishna. I am your friend. You sit down idly and I shall do everything. He never said that. He said that you must fight. That is our duty. Not that God has given us hands and legs and we sit down idly and let God do it. This is not devotion.
Then you agree with me that this oft-repeated shloka has created a state of fatalism among the Hindu community.
What is that?
Fatalism. This verse created fatalism. Fatalism, a sense of hopelessness.
Hopelessness?
Pessimism, fatalism.
It has been interpreted that this verse means that God will come and therefore we don't have to do it.
God is always present. You carry out the order of God. God is always present. You carry out the order of the God.
The verse is clear.
Yes. So that is being done every moment. Every moment we are forgetting our dharma. And God is giving us instruction.
The state of fatalism, which is prevalent in India and everywhere among.
It is not spoken to India, it is spoken to everyone.
But these are the things.
India, why do you bring India? God is not made for India.
But I am not telling India, but I know India.
That, why you say it's India?
I have seen India, I know India.
Now why you bring India at all? God is not meant for India.
Hinduism, let
No, God is not meant for Hindu. That is your creation, mental speculation. He never says, jada jada Hindu dharma sa granny bhava. He never says. Why do you speak all this?
Anyway, it has created a state of fatalism.
Yada yada hi dharma sa granny bhava.
Yes.
When there is unrighteousness,
yes.
I come in this world.
Yes.
In green state
righteousness. Yes, that is
it. He has not come now. There is no unrighteousness in this world.
He has come, but he has no eyes to see. He requires the eyes to see.
Sir, I've listened to your talk with very great interest. You're very clear and very lucid, but you're also very dogmatic, I feel. Is there any area of doubt in your own philosophy, or are you quite certain in every field?
What is that dogmatic?
Dogmatic, you are very... When you have a question put to you, you are very clear what the answer shall be. Very clear. Have you any doubts yourself that have not appeared to us?
To you, answer. You are American?
I'm Scottish.
In Scotland you have got also, Edinburgh you have got a temple. Mm-hmm.
But you seem very, your philosophy seems very clear cut.
Thank you very much.
Are you well satisfied with that, that there is no area of doubt?
And therefore, it is appealing more to the Western countries. Yes. Mostly, it is very acceptable in the Western countries.
Thank you.
So, chant Hare Krishna again.